future. It was easy to imagine clinics springing up in Mexico and the Bahamas. Nor was there a problem finding surgeons to do the job. A single, busy, well-organized neurosurgeon could perform 10 or 15 operations a day. He could certainly charge $1,000 for each, and with that kind of incentive, unscrupulous surgeons could be found. $100,000 a week in cash was a strong inducement to break the law, if indeed a law were ever passed. That did not seem very likely. A year before, the hospital had organized a seminar with legal scholars on biomedical technology and the law. ELADs were among the subjects discussed, but the lawyers were not responsive. The ELAD concept did not fit neatly into the already existing pattern of laws governing drug addiction. All those laws recognized that a person could become a drug addict innocently or involuntarily. Quite a different proposition from a person coldly seeking a surgical procedure that would make him an addict. Most of the lawyers felt that the public would not seek such an operation. There would be no legal problem, because there would be no public demand. Now Beckerman had provided evidence for such a demand. "I'll be goddamned," another of the development people said. Morris found that comment hardly adequate. He himself felt something he had felt once or twice before since joining the NPS. It was the sensation that things were moving too fast, without enough caution and control, and that it could all get out of control suddenly and without warning. Chapter 6. At 6 p.m., Roger McPherson, head of the Neuropsychiatric Research Unit, went up to the seventh floor to check on his patient. At least, that was how he thought of Benson, as his patient. A proprietary feeling, but not entirely incorrect. Without McPherson, there would be no NPS, and without an NPS, there would be no surgery, no Benson. That was how he thought of it. Room 710 was quiet and bathed in reddish light from the setting sun. Benson appeared to be asleep, but his eyes opened when McPherson closed the door.
"How are you feeling?"
McPherson asked, moving close to the bed. Benson smiled. "Everyone wants to know that," he said. McPherson smiled back.
"That's a natural question."
"I'm tired, that's all. Very tired. Sometimes I think I'm a ticking time bomb, and you're wondering when I'll explode."
"Is that what you think?"
McPherson asked. Automatically, he adjusted Benson's covers so he could look at the IV line. It was flowing nicely. "Tick, tick," Benson said, closing his eyes again. "Tick, tick." McPherson frowned. He was accustomed to mechanical metaphors from Benson. The man was preoccupied, after all, with the idea of men as machines. But to have them appear so soon after operation...
"Any pain?"
"None. A little ache behind my ear."